Thank you. Good morning. I just want to start, I want to speak about staying fresh and alive in God. Staying fresh and alive in God. I just want to start with two scriptures. So John 1:15-16, and it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." So that's my first one. My second one is John 15:4. And it is, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." That's Jesus speaking. So we need to remain in Jesus. I want this year to count. I want this year to count. I want this year to be my most effective year that I've ever lived for God. I want to listen to God more closely. I want to hear his voice more clearly. I want to be more obedient than I've ever been in my life. And I want to be more effective in building his kingdom, sharing his love, and winning his people to him than I've ever been in my life. And I know that I'm not alone. We're all in that. So I've thought about some things, and I'm just going to run through 10 things that are tips that, and it's not a list that to tire you out at the start of the year because you're nice and fresh and you're ready to be tired out. It's just some ideas. And my suggestion is just look at the list, consider them, and maybe pick one or more if you have the energy, but just pick one to work on, or but it's over to you. But the first thing that I want to talk about is have a God-focused outflow. This year, and I'm planning to do all of these things, and hopefully I do all of these things anyway, but have a God-focused outflow. Who will you touch? Who will you impact? Whose life will you assist to change this year for God? Through God, through the Holy Spirit, because it's not us that's changing other people. We invest into other people, and God does the changing in their life. So we're always very clear on that. It's not us being the big heroes. God is the hero. We're the servants, always. But we need an outflow, don't we? If we don't have an outflow, if a river doesn't have an outflow, it's an unhealthy river. It needs somewhere. A river needs an inflow and it needs an outflow to keep it clean. You know, sometimes we're in Foxton and there's a little waterway sort of around there, and some years ago it was blocked off in a flood, and silt came down and blocked it off. So it basically was, and it became dirty and kind of pungent and just not good for wildlife, not good for fish life, not good for anything. And so over the last few years, they've had diggers there, and they've been kind of excavating the silt. And I think their long-term plan is to actually open it up with the river again and get that flow through going so that life can happen in the river. Because when a river's clean, it affects the life below, doesn't it? And it brings life to things that are below. If we are rivers, and we have, the Bible says that we have rivers of life flowing through us, that is the life of Jesus, the life of God. When we have this life in us, everything we touch, everyone we come into contact with, every thing that we're connected with is better off, because life comes into its world and we impart life to others. Joshua, in the book of Joshua 24:15, it says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need to make that decision, don't we? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm sure you've all made that decision. Second thing is choose to be grateful. Choose to be grateful. This is something I'm constantly trying to do better at and trying to be. And, you know, 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks when things are going well. It says give thanks in all circumstances. When things are going really badly, we give thanks. When things are going terribly and we don't know how it's going to turn out, we give thanks. You know, when the odds are against us and we're sure it's going to go wrong, we give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants. He wants us to give thanks. It's a decision to give thanks. She's okay. It's not worrying me. But if she gets on the stage and starts playing air guitar, I might mind that, you know. Can't have a band over trumping me. It's a decision to be grateful. It's a decision to be, you know, happy, content. These are all decisions. And it's a decision to choose not to be grateful, to not to be happy, to be unhappy, to be ungrateful, to be unthankful. So we need to choose to be grateful because it is a choice. It's a choice that we walk in day after day after day. And it's actually, when I'm looking at leaders, potential leaders, gratitude is one of the hallmarks I'm looking for in their life as well, over leaders, along with a number of other things. But gratitude is a key thing that I'm looking for all the time because it tells me a lot about them. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says, but God's Spirit causes us to live in a different way. In a different way, we love people. We are happy and we have peace in our minds. We are patient, kind and good. People can trust us to do what is right. We respect other people and we rule ourselves properly. God's Spirit helps us to live in that way. There is no law that says these things are wrong. So that's Galatians, that's the fruit of the Spirit, and it's the English, the Easy English Bible. I know for some of you will have thought it sounds a little bit different. I thought it was a nice version and just to read today. So, third one, practice the art of generosity. Paying it forward. How many have heard the term pay it forward? It's become very popular in the world, hasn't it? Be generous with others. It means give to others before we get. We're paying it forward before we get. And the hope is that people are nice to others or do nice things to others and it goes around in a circle. That's very nice in a worldly kind of, it's fantastic that the world recognises that. It's actually Jesus' teachings. They may not realise that, but it's Jesus' teachings very firmly. And, you know, it applies to everything. Our time, our energy, how we deal with other people, our money, our passion, you know, everything. We don't do it to be boastful. So we don't, you know, I don't give money away and then stand up here and showboat and say, oh, look how amazing I am. I gave someone $100. The Bible says do it privately. Because it's adding to humility. It's not talking about the old ways that used to be boastful. People would stand and declare that, look how generous I am, you know, putting on a big performance. But in their heart really stunk because their heart was in bad shape. But God wants our heart to be in good shape and us to do it privately and with humility. So generosity. 4. Choose to become involved in something greater than you. Something greater than us. And I would suggest everything greater than us should always be about God. You know, we need to be involved in more than just what we are concerned about. More than just Dean Olsen. If Dean Olsen is just self-centered, he's going to be just not nice. Everything's going to be around what's good for Dean Olsen. But when Dean Olsen gets his sight out and looks at things that are bigger than Dean Olsen, that matter, the eternal things, the godly things, the things that build other people up, help other people, then Dean Olsen is better by result of that. And it's the same with you. we can all be involved in something. In a couple of months, I've got a guy coming to speak, and he's going to speak about, it's an opportunity for some of you. One of the things I like doing is bringing in some missions, different missions, and exposing you to them, because it may just stir up, one, we celebrate what they do, but two, it may just stir something up in your heart that some of you are meant to be involved in. And so this is actually sports chaplaincy, which is becoming a very big thing in New Zealand and around the world. A lot of sports teams internationally and in New Zealand now, the Warriors, New Zealand Rugby League and basketball franchises and a whole bunch of schools now are actually writing up that the spiritual is just as important as every other. They need to look after the whole person, one of which is spiritual, and they don't know how to do that. So along comes chaplaincy, and with a spiritual, you know, in the sporting area, and we can assist them. So there's going to be a little bit more shared about that later in the year, and I'll have someone coming in to share about that. But that's a really good area. Some of you maybe are into sport. Maybe you think, oh, I'd love to kind of help others to know more about God, but I don't know how, but all I am is really sporty. Well, that might actually work for you. Who knows? Number five, surround yourself with godly people who are hungry for God and adventure. Hungry for God and adventure. Not bored, not hungry for God, but bored. Not hungry for God, oh, back in 70 years ago, we used to do it so great. No, you want adventure now. We need to surround ourselves with people who are now believers, who are really still. It's one of the things I love about you, Ken, is Ken has been around more than 5 minutes. I don't know if you look at him. He's traveled the world doing missions and that. And if you talk to Ken, he is passionate about taking this world and adventures today. He is busy today, aren't you, Ken? He's always sending messages out and emails out, stirring people up and encouraging people in the kingdom. And Ken's actually going to be speaking in not too many weeks here. Which will be really great. So surround yourself with people who are really alive in God. But why is that? Do you know why? If you want to fly with the eagles, don't walk with the turkeys, Gina said. Yes. A famous Phil Pringle sermon. Yeah. If you want to fly with the eagles, don't walk with the turkeys. Yeah, basically it's contagious, isn't it? If you hang around, in fact, I was reading, I can't remember how I came to it, but I was reading just recently, I think it was at Global Leadership Conference, if I recall correctly. They had this group of people who were working on a project, and they were really excited. And then what they didn't realise, they were part of actually a research piece that was being done, and they introduced into the team a person who was cynical and really, really negative without them knowing about it. And the person just from day one just started going on about how bad it was and how it was going to fail and how it was so stupid and how it was flawed. And guess what? The teams failed dismally. Like it really, really impacted them in a really, really negative way, because it's contagious. But it's contagious the other way. If we are amazingly positive people, and it's not about positivity. I mean, it's about God. God, you know, I can't not be positive in God. I can't walk and live out the fruit of the Spirit and be negative in God, because the two are opposed. When I want to walk as a sinful person in myself without God, yeah, no problem. I can be as negative as any of you can be. No problems. I can see grey clouds everywhere. I can be doom and gloomy and negative and everything's going to fail. But I can't in God. And so we need to walk around people who are alive in God. And it be contagious. A bit like running. You run. If you want to do better, run with people. I was never a runner, but I used to work for Glaxo Pharmaceuticals years ago, and I started running with some proper athletes, and they, boy, they pushed me. I felt like I was going to die some days, I tell you. I thought my heart was popping out. I thought it was about to pop out and do the alien thing and explode or something. There were some days I just wanted to stop right then and there. I had just burned everything I had. My energy levels had gone, and I was just ready to fall on the ground and die. But I got through, and they actually had me running and performing at a much higher pace than I could. Cyclists, you watch cyclists race, they ride as a pack generally in races, and every now and then you have a breakaway rider will try and make a breakaway, but generally the pack catches up to them. You get the odd person who is just, they're the winners, who just break away and stay away, or a few will break away and stay away, but generally they stay as pack because they're pushing each other, and it's easier when you're doing that. So connect with people. 6-1 is a weird one. Take risks in God. Take risks in God. I don't mean be silly. I don't mean give away all your money. I don't mean do something stupid, you know, just insanely stupid. I just mean do something that push it, makes you dig into God a little bit more than yesterday, because it's something out of your comfort zone. So it's not throwing your brain out the window. Keep your brain in your head. It's the safest place for it to be. But don't be so comfortable that you won't step out of the comfort to go across the road and help someone who needs a hand and needs to hear about the love of God. Don't be so comfortable that you won't go to a neighbour that you've never met before with a meal and say, hey, I can see you're stressed out a bit, or, you know, or do you want to come over for a cuppa or something, or help someone, or do something you've never done before. Some of the coolest stuff in the Bible is stuff that scared the people that had to live, walk it out. Like, think about Moses. You know, God says you've got to go and speak to the most powerful ruler. And Moses is like, but I can't even speak. Like, it doesn't work. You know, I've never been great at speaking. It was scary for him, but God did a great miracle through it. And God repeatedly through the Bible, he does miracles through people who step out and take a risk in God. Number 7, keep your priorities clear. Keep your priorities clear. And this is how I recommend that you approach it, is God is number 1. Family, wife and kids, number 2. Your work is number 3. What's missing? Church. Church is below, because work provides for family. It needs to be there. Next, after work, after you've provided for your family, which you need to do if you're a breadwinner in family, after that, church, ministry, serving. Be a sold out follower of Christ, a great husband or wife, mum, dad, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, doing the unky monkey thing. Yeah. Be a good employee and a committed member of whatever you put your hand to. And if you're serving at church, do a great job. Number 8, have unchurched connections. Unchurched connections. Again, back to the outflow. If we're not, we're stagnant. We are not meant to just be a happy, clappy bunch that come and are just insular. We are meant to be, some say the only organisation that exists for people that don't belong to it yet. The church is the only organisation that exists for people that don't belong to it yet. It's quite incredible, but it's true. We are there to shine. We are salt. Salt is not meant to be in a container flavoring other salt, saying, aren't we wonderful? We're so salty. We're so on salt. We're so light salt, you know? No, salt is only useful if you use it to flavor something else. It only becomes salt that's worth having if you put it on some meat or put it with some good salt and vinegar chips. Yeah, there's no yuck when we're talking salt and vinegar chips. It's like pickle and cheese, cheese and gherkins, gherkins and hamburgers, you know? It all goes together really nicely. We need to shine, though. We need to be involved in things outside of church. So some of you, I know, are very involved. You're involved in sport outside of church and maybe Rotary, maybe all kinds of organisations. That's great. Schools, you know, your work probably takes you out and helps you to connect in that. But it's good to do it. It's good to rub shoulders with people that are outside of church because, one, it's a reality check for us. We know what's going on out there and we can impact what's going on out there one by one and shine to people and be light in their world and salt in their world. Bring flavour to them, good flavour. Number 9, take God with you wherever you go. Take God with you wherever you go. Never be ashamed of your beliefs. Never be ashamed. But be wise and humble in communicating it. I've been in workplaces where people come in and they're really bolshy around their faith and that, but it actually gets people's heckles up, and it actually makes me as a fellow believer feel uncomfortable at times. There's times where I haven't wanted to be in the room. I've been so uncomfortable around them. It's like, it's not really salt. It's kind of pungent, some kind of off salt kind of pungent thing. We need to be humble. The aroma of Jesus attracted people. The aroma of Jesus attracted people. It didn't repel people. People came to him in their droves. Why? Because there was something fresh in him. He wasn't bolshy. He brought something fresh into the world and they hungered for it. They were hungering for it. We can do that as well. If we get around people and we're the real deal and we're sincere and humble and we are a river that's, there's an inflow and an outflow and they can see there's life, they can see there's something different about it, they will come and say, what, and I've had it previously, what is it about you? You don't swear, you don't tell jokes, you don't do this. Like, what are you into? Because what they want to find out is, where's your life source? Like, what is it that's giving you life? Because it's got an aroma that I like. So we need to be that. Take God wherever you go. And number 10, stay in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a gimme, really, isn't it? Stay in God. Stay in God's word. Stay in prayer. Stay in his ways. You know, in this day and age, his ways are becoming less and less popular. It's becoming quite, if we want to live as effective Christians, it's quite different from other operating standards in the world, which basically is coming back to anything goes, absolutely anything goes. We're pretty much back to ground zero. The things that are going on and being celebrated in society are just pretty much like identical to when Jesus walked the earth. It's really interesting to watch. Things have always gone on in the background, but they've never really been celebrated publicly. But we're coming to a point where now they're celebrated publicly, openly. They've come out of the tent. They're not being done in the tent with the doors closed. They're out of the tent and they're for everyone to see and they're being celebrated by society. Big difference. It's interesting, very interesting to watch. Couple of scriptures to close. And they're the first ones I started with. Do not love this world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And back to John 15, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. How about I pray? Father, I pray as we're at the start of this year, I pray for every single person here that you would cause us to become more hungry for you than ever before, more in love with you than ever before. And I pray that we'd walk more closely, we would listen more intently, we would be more obedient. I pray that we would be more effective, that we would be able to share our story, that we would be able to share about your love with others around us, that we would be able to help others in their journeys with you, encourage others through their walks. And I pray that when people see us, they would see you in us, around us. Father, be with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.